everybody, I think, wants to know about the Scott family. It centers around Michaela's name. Is it on purpose?
Yes.
For Michael Scott?
No. No.
I told you.
I owe you a dollar. I think it has to be. Look how it's spelled.
No, her name means gift from God.
Sure, but also, that's struck. Well and good. I know, Christian podcast. All right, the microphones are turned off, just us talking.
Welcome to the Between Two Beards podcast, a Bloomsburg Christian Church podcast to get to know your brothers and sisters in Christ. Some who have been following Jesus for decades and others who are just beginning their walk with him. We are a family united by the saving grace of Jesus. And we are your hosts, Mike,
Noah,
and I'm Chad.
All right, welcome back to Between Two Beards. I am here and joined this week by my co-host, the man with a few words to say, as they say in the biz. I don't know. Chad Taylor.
Well, hello, everybody. Today we have the Scott family. We have Jeremy and Alicia and their kids, Logan and Michaela.
Who are being shy.
So
we may or may not hear from them. We're hoping to. Michaela and I have a signal. Nope, I didn't get it.
Her eyes are wide open. It's the blank, and she is not giving it. So...
So let's start with the question that everybody, I think, wants to know about the Scott family. It centers around Michaela's name. Is it on purpose?
Yes.
For Michael Scott?
No.
I told you.
I owe you a dollar. I think it has to be. Look how it's spelled.
No, her name means gift from God.
Sure, but also, that's struck. Well and good. I know, Christian podcast. All right, the microphones are turned off, just us talking. Really? No, she's shaking her head. This is audio.
He thought it was an Office reference.
Like, it has to be.
I don't even watch The Office.
Either do I.
I love the show,
but no.
No.
Both of our kids, their middle names were picked first.
Oh, what's their middle names?
Her middle name's Jane.
Oh.
That's my grandmother's name.
And the kids have joined the podcast.
Even the dog. The dog's middle name was picked first.
Wow.
No pressure on the middle name. It's easier. But no, her middle name is Jane.
Okay.
Which was my grandmother's name and his grandmother's middle name. So we had trouble picking her first name.
And then you saw an episode of The Office.
No, still no, Mike.
Yeah, no.
Just trying to.
I didn't ask for the stapler. No.
Nice.
I used to love the movie. I didn't watch the TV show.
Office Space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And was Logan easy to pick as well?
His middle name is Parker, and that is a family name. It was my great grandmother's maiden name, and. We went through all of the horrible nicknames that you could have and decided not to pick one of those.
Nice.
Perfect. So he's LP, lumbar puncture.
Okay.
So you're a nurse. we'll get to that. But all right. Wait, who was it? Somebody else had it. There was the same type of joke.
And
she's a nurse.
Yeah, she's a nurse.
So I guess we'll start with Jeremy. We'll talk about where you grew up. And we'll go from there until you're maybe after high school, and then we'll go to Alicia.
So grew up in Herndon, which is about 35 miles south of here. Went to high school at Lyne Mountain. From there, I went to Lock Haven for undergraduate in pre-farm and got my doctorate in pharmacy from LECOM up in Erie. So we stayed in Erie for... 3 full years around, and that's where Alicia joined me at that time. It's kind of where we met right before I went to Erie. Kind of made our way back for my last rotations through school towards the Hershey area where she was. Stayed in Mount Joy, did a bunch of rotations for about 6 months in that area, going from anywhere from Lancaster to Hershey Medical. Trying to focus more on hospital pharmacy than retail because I worked for a CVS as an intern for... throughout my whole college career, pretty much. And then I made my way this way because I got a job at Geisinger at Danville as a clinical pharmacist. So out of the retail space, got out of that, went on and trained at Geisinger. Kind of started as a regular clinical pharmacist there and went on to do some things with infectious disease, intensive care. So that was probably 6 years into my career. I decided to jump over to Bloomsburg Hospital through Geisinger as well, just because we had kids coming and it was more of a 7:30 to 4 kind of job, better hours. And it was a manager position, so kind of move up as well. And I've been at Bloomsburg now for ever since, and the rest is like history for now.
Yeah, we expected it to be 3 to 5 years.
Oh, really? And it's been
13.
It's usually how it works.
Yeah, yeah.
Was Central Pennsylvania not like where you wanted? You thought you were gonna kind of hunker down?
No.
Oh, we don't like Central Pennsylvania. Yeah.
I'm from Lancaster, so this is quite
this
a
step
change.
Up.
That's what I try to tell her. I'm used to Herndon. This is
there are no stoplights in all of Herndon in the entire like school district.
Nothing down there.
Yeah, claim to fame. No red lights in my entire school district.
Wait, what year did you graduate Lime Mountain?
2004.
Okay, you're a little.
Yeah.
I'm older than him.
Okay. Oh.
Oh, when she speaks, when she talks about mom's age.
No, I'm not.
So growing up in Herndon, did you go to church? Were you?
Yeah, so as church goes, I kind of grew up in a more traditional Lutheran style church, growing up till about 10, 11. And at that point in time, my parents got a divorce and kind of they went away from that church, and my dad took us more to a Christian-style church, a Grace Community Church. Mm. And there was more some youth groups, things like that. Got involved in Awanas. I don't know if you guys heard of Awanas, mm-hmm. but they had Awanas program, so that was pretty good. And then really, I mean, through college, I didn't attend a lot of church. We did a couple stops in Erie when we were up with a friend of ours. And then we came back this way, and actually how we found BCC was actually a clinical pharmacist at Danville recommended us because we were looking for a church in the area, and she told us to come over. It was Beth Halchek. She was a member here for a little while, and then she actually moved back to Michigan at this point in time, so she's not around anymore, but that's how we came to know about BCC.
Oh, nice. So then you grew up in the Lancaster area. Alicia?
Yeah, I went to Mannheim Central High School, graduated.
Oh, that's like big time.
Yeah, it is. Football.
Yeah, big time football school.
Yeah, Dan Kreider, Matt Nagy, just a few NFLers. There were some other ones that made it and then didn't make it well. So there's a rival in our house, Steelers and Eagles.
Oh, so you're the smart one.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Steelers, Eagles, we have a rivalry right here.
Yeah, see, Michaela's on my side. Uh-uh. Oh, now you're going to switch teams?
Okay, that's smart, okay. Smart. Play both sides. Whoever's better, that's right.
I went to college at Marywood University in Scranton and started working at Hershey Medical Center. And I worked with his mom. He skipped that part of the story.
So when you went to Marywood, you went as for nursing?
Yeah. I got my bachelor's degree in nursing.
You always wanted to be a nurse?
I did.
Okay.
And my mom thought I'd be a lawyer or something, and I was like,
I could see that in you.
Well, what you don't know is, now not so much with Dr. Shove because she's very calm, but I am a lawyer all day at work.
Gotcha. Jeremy, did you always want to be a like you were in the pharmacy?
Actually, when I first started, I went and I had no idea what I wanted to do. So I went in as just straight biochemistry. And then I'm like, at what point, what am I going to do with biochemistry? And it was actually me and my roommate at the time both decided to do pre-pharm because we're like, what are we both going to do? Huh. We liked the lab and did some things while we were there, but it's like, what job am I come out to be able to, you know, do? And then we actually both went and shadowed pharmacists the one summer. We were both, you know, doing kind of internships and both decided we like it. And we both actually got into LECOM and we both went to LECOM together, which is one of the reasons why we got there too, because you can only transfer into LECOM from Erie. So you have to do all your prerequisites somewhere else. And it worked out perfectly that LECOM, you know, accepted all our prerequisites from Lock Haven. And they only take 120 kids, so it was pretty good that we got in there. And then it's a three-year, year-round program as well.
Oh, wow.
So we got done, like, you know, a whole extra year sooner.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, in general, no.
Tell them how many schools you applied to.
One.
Oh, man.
So, like, all my Make up your mind.
This is what I'm doing. It's easy.
Yeah. So, I don't know. And it worked out for me, so.
Perfect.
All right, so back to you, Alicia. So you went to Marywood.
Yes, I went to Marywood.
Working in Hershey Medical.
That's correct.
With or for Jeremy's mother?
With his mom.
With his mom.
Well, I actually got out and I did the nursing internship in the ICU there, which was pretty intense. And I didn't like it. Hershey was going through a
trans... It was like intensive care?
Yeah, that's where I work now. Oh. But at Hershey, when I started there, that you do a six-month internship as a new nurse to get acclimated to what you don't learn in nursing school because they just teach you the book work and not...
Right. Real life.
Real, exactly.
Like people are yelling at you.
All day.
Right.
And a lot of nursing has changed in the last 10 to 20 years, but even at Geisinger, when I started there, it was the adult ICU, and we got everybody. But everything is specializing. So when I started at Hershey before there, I worked in the SICU, but we took care of everything, open hearts. We took care of surgery, trauma, neuro. So as a new nurse, that was like, wow. And they were starting to separate them. The only one that was separated at the time was the medical ICU, and it was mass chaos. And I was also going through, I don't want to get upset, but my great uncle, who was my godfather, he was dying of cancer. So I was traveling back and forth to Rhode Island at the time. And it was a lot of stress.
Right.
And then I was coming to work and they're like, oh, what unit are you on today? Because they were starting to like, neuro was on the fourth floor and this was on that floor. So you did like walk in as a brand new nurse and you're like, okay, you're going to do this today. And I was like, I don't know how I like this. So I transferred to the MIMQ, which is the medical intermediate unit. And that's how I met his mom. And she's like, I have a son. I'm like, how do you? You and she does. And she's got a nephew and he's got a grandson. And because right. In your 20, everybody's got somebody right. For you to meet.
And you're single.
I was.
Yeah.
And I was just like, eh. And then one day she showed me a picture of him.
And I was it like, was. Whoa, I can meet him.
I was like, ah. She's like, here, I'll get you on my daughter's Facebook page because I predate Facebook. Nice. I was a MySpace baby.
And all I got was a picture of her dog on MySpace. Right. It's a cute dog, very cute puppy, right. But.
I was like, oh, yeah, you can see my picture. And his mom is like a jokester. And she's like, oh, yeah, he's 3 teeth above, 2 below. She's really pretty.
Yeah.
She's only like 450 pounds. Like, you'll love her. And he knew she was joking. Uh-oh. And he called me one day.
So
and
it's I didn't out know. Of the blue?
You didn't know? Like, she set that up without. Nice.
No. I was just like, oh, you know, like she tried to sign into his sister's Facebook account.
Oh, your wow. Mom is really working for you.
And she's like, oh, I don't know how this works. So then I'm trying to create a Facebook account, and it had changed since college. It was too complicated in college because he had used college email, and I never used my college email. Huh. I was like, oh, I'm not doing this. So we're on night shift, not taking care of patients, trying to set up Facebook accounts.
They're sleeping. They'll be fine.
Yeah, we were in step down. They sleep there. And then I get a phone call one day, and this is also before, like, fancy phones, so you just, like, knew people's numbers.
Right.
Or you talked to them for, like, a few minutes, and you'd be like, oh, it's Julie, or oh, it's...
Yeah.
And I was talking, and I had no idea who I was talking to.
And you didn't say, hi, my name is Jeremy?
No, he just called to start talking.
I don't remember.
Did your mom tell you that she knew you were going to call?
Yeah. I don't really know.
Did your mom make you call?
Right. No, we chatted like on.
Oh, okay.
Online.
Okay, so there was some contact.
Yes, we had talked, okay. But we hadn't like physically talked on the phone.
Okay, wow.
Mom's got a gun to my head. I gotta make this phone call.
Call her now.
No, we were.
She's over my shoulder. Get away. Yeah. Right.
No, don't say that. Say this.
No,
say this.
How long did you wear the earpiece?
All right. Yeah, so you chatted ahead of time. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, so he called me, and it took a solid 5-10 minutes before I was like, I don't know who this is. Because my mom and my friend were at my house, and I was like, I don't know who this is. So I'm like, very politely asking who's a caller.
Your name again.
And I was like, I'm sorry, I just can't place your voice.
Like, well, you've never heard it before. Yeah.
I can't place it because I never heard it. You're right.
Yeah. Still worked.
Yeah, right on.
Still got the girl. Right.
I mean, phones were not that fancy. You still had like wall phones.
Yep.
And
right.
Flip phones. And so it wasn't super uncommon. It's just like all of my friends called me. It was too much work to be like A,
right.
To save them in your phone. So.
So was this love at first sight, or were we like, I don't know about her, him?
Yeah, I mean, it was blind date for me, and it worked out, so.
Yeah, he drove down to Hershey, and we had pizza.
She saw me before, but I never saw her until
so
I opened the door.
So you weren't in Hershey yet at this point?
No.
So you were
still in Herndon.
Yeah. He was in Herndon.
Okay. Yeah, I was in between Lock Haven. It's a summer between going to Lock Haven and Lecom. So
okay.
It was like my summer off before I did the year-round thing, so.
Oh, so you guys met before you went to school?
Yeah.
Oh, got it.
So he was just finishing his undergrad, and I was working and had an apartment, and he was getting ready to go to Lock Haven.
And you were at one point like, this child wants to date me.
He seemed, all his friends called him Pappy.
Oh, okay.
He was like,
he's an old soul.
Old soul.
Yes.
Yeah. So you go down, you guys have this first date. And you walk away going, yes, no, maybe?
I was pretty impressed. Like, we like pretty much chatted all night.
Okay.
And so I felt really bad when he had to drive home, and
he didn't care.
It was like 4 o'clock.
He did not care.
Well, I had to go to work with his mom.
Oh. Did you get peppered with a bunch of questions?
His mom isn't one of those.
Oh, she's not. No. She interrogate you.
She didn't even ask when I came home, like 4 o'clock in the morning. Didn't say nothing.
I was like, well, it's 4 a.m. Must have gone well.
Yeah, it must have been a good night.
And no, she also didn't ask, so our second date was his 21st birthday.
Oh. Wait, I got to know. What's the age gap?
3 years.
Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah. No. Just enough for me to be ahead of him, already working full time for a year or so.
Was that hard? Like being in the workforce and he's still in school?
I would work 6 12-hour shifts and then drive to Erie after night shift. I'd get like a Starbucks venti. His dad would call me to make sure I was still alive on his morning break while I was driving across the state. I can't say that I remember all of those drives because they were like 6.5
those
hours.
Those are some love miles.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Wow.
And then... I ended up moving there because I went back to grad school and I was like, I cannot go to school full time, work full time, and drive to Erie. But we also couldn't afford to live separately. And I know it's a big sin, but we did move in together before we were married.
Times are hard out there, man. Yeah. I got to pay that rent.
Right.
Oh. No, the worst was when I moved to Erie. Jeremy picked out the house we were renting.
Oh, boy.
And we packed up all of my stuff, and we drove.
She was not happy the first day she came.
I could already tell that's where this was going.
Right.
But we cleaned up very nice. It turned into a nice place, but it was not very nice when we got there.
The price, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, the price was right.
That's right. My man.
And it wasn't on the east side of town, which was the worst side. So at least we're on the west side here.
Yeah, I have to talk to the Hollies about that.
That's right. They're from there.
He is, yeah. But We got there late at night. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. Can't get into the house. Get into the house. There's can't find light switches, nothing. We like put a blow up mattress on the floor to sleep till the morning. The house, somebody tries to like break into it. It's
nice, nice.
Well, so look at you now.
Yeah. And it ended up being great. We were behind, we were beside the high school that was a little.
So I always like to know the engagement story and how that came about. Oh, usually you get some good nuggets here.
So it was a complete surprise, but I have to give him mad props. He's not this way anymore. Sorry. truth be told.
Well, this kid's involved.
Got where he needed to be.
But it was our 2 year anniversary, and he sent me on a scavenger hunt across Erie of all of like our previous dates.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So I woke up and he had like made me coffee and gave me a note card. And it was literally like throughout Erie.
You had to go by yourself.
No, the two of us.
Oh, he went with you.
Yeah.
He just didn't give you any answers or?
They were just like hints on the note card.
And then when we got to the next place, there was another card.
And I had to find the note card. And then I had to figure out where to go.
So you kind of knew what was happening or no?
I had no clue. It was our anniversary. So I thought this was just for fun.
Oh,
you know?
Smart.
Yeah. Nice.
So like it led me to roses in the basement. And our first date was pepperoni pizza. So we went for lunch for pepperoni pizza, and we always went rollerblading. So we went rollerblading in Presque Isle, and he had pre-hidden a note underneath a bench. Not to mention, I had just come home from vacation with his mom, his sister, and his cousin. So his mom didn't even know about this because she knew that he knew that she could.
But her parents did.
Yes. He did call and ask my dad for permission.
Nice. You knew your mom had a gift. She wouldn't be able to hold it. Yeah. See, yeah.
Or more so his sister.
Okay.
Yeah. My mom would be able to. She'd be able to fib if she had to.
But I was with his, like, the women in his family for a week.
Wow.
On vacation.
That'd have been tough.
So, yeah. I mean, he told her that day, like before he proposed, but he didn't tell her before vacation.
And by then,
vacation.
You're on the scavenger hunt.
Yes.
It's not like she was going to say no. So. Right. It's okay. Yeah.
She did
introduce
great
us. She's to make this happen.
So I literally, we went through the whole day. We went out to the Olive Garden because we, as broke people, got a lot of soup and salad there.
Breadsticks.
All you can eat. Yeah. And the breadsticks.
So that was dinner. I still have all of the note cards. I saved it.
Aww,
cool. And made a photo album thing out of it. And then one of the previous things that we had done, we had gotten blackberry wine from Wilcox Winery. And we loved it, so he led me, like, I had to pick out wine. And then I actually had the hardest time picking out the last clue. It was the couch. I don't remember what the clue was, but
place where we first kissed.
Oh, yeah, sitting on my couch.
And you couldn't remember that? Or
Well, no, finding the clue.
Oh,
it was buried
in the clue.
I buried it in the couch.
Yeah. So
I see. Okay, got it.
Yeah. I'm like tearing all the couch cushions out. I just thought it would be like tucked behind a pillow, but it was like in the couch. Right.
Wow.
You're really going to make her work for this. You want this ring, you're working for it.
I didn't know it was a ring. Even when I got the box, I still didn't know it was a ring. I thought he got me like earrings or something. So I opened it up and I was like, oh, wow. I was like completely floored and I like turned around and looked at him and he was down on one knee.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is great. That's a great one.
That might
one.
Be the best one we've heard.
I think so, too.
I'm writing this down.
That was really, yeah. Take notes,
Diego.
Yeah, it was like the first 2 years of our time dating. It was like a reenactment of all of that.
It was a good
shooting
on vacation for a week prior. Give me time. Think about it. Figure it all out.
So then you ended up getting married. Where did you end up getting married?
Well, that's a whole nother story.
Oh.
So I had some, health issues. When we were getting ready to move back to Erie, I was at work and I was having just difficulty, and I messaged him, and I was like, I need you to run to the store. Like, I have two sick, crashing patients, and I am just can't take care of my patients right now. I need you to go to the store and get me X, Y, and Z just to make it through my shift. And the hospital is a level 2 trauma there, so outside doctors take care of patients. Like, your PCP would be taking care of patients in the ICU. So my PCP knew me as also an ICU nurse because he took care of patients in and out of the hospital. And I made it through my night shift and messaged him in the morning. And I was like, something's wrong. And so he got me in for an appointment that morning, went through a quick scenario. And I was like, listen, I've already done X, Y, and Z. Because I'm a nurse and, you know, we're not our best patients. We try and just, like, stay away.
You know a little too much.
Yeah. So I was like, I've already done all these things and things keep getting worse and I just don't know what's wrong. So he sent me for a CAT scan. And they did a CAT scan and he's in class and I'm by myself and my family is 6 hours away. And they hand me my results, which is unheard of. They printed them out, handed them to me, and handed me a phone book.
No way.
So I had a huge tumor in my abdomen, the size of a cantaloupe.
Wow.
Oh, man.
And so I am so upset. I can't get a hold of him. I can't get a hold of anybody. Like, our parents were all at work. And you're right, I did know too much. Right. So I'm like, I'm dying. Yeah. I'm not going to get married. So they went ahead and they were like scheduling me for surgery and doing blood work and everything. His mom and sister left work and drove up to Erie knowing that he'd need support because I did get a hold of him and he called them from class crying. And
right, because your whole life's in front, you think your whole life's in front of you, have no idea what's about to happen. Yeah.
And
what year was that?
2010.
Okay.
No, 2009.
Moved there in 2010.
Yeah.
You need your surgery here.
Yeah. So I was actually a patient at Geisinger before I worked there.
Wow.
I was referred to 6 different hospitals. So I didn't end up having surgery because they recognized that the tumor was too involved. And as much as it needed to come out of me, that wasn't the place to be. So they were sending me to Pittsburgh. But instead of sending me, they sent my scans. And then I ended up having an MRI because they needed more information. And we were getting ready to move back to Lancaster. So I pretty much just put as much into my car as I could because I used to work at Hershey. And I went to Hershey and got another consult. And I was like, that doctor's a schmuck. He told me it was just a cyst and it would go away and I'd be fine. And I was like,
the one in Hershey?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I was like, I'm not taking his advice.
Right?
That can't be right.
Because everybody else keeps telling me otherwise.
So I'd been in contact with my doctor in Erie and his office, and they forwarded my stuff then to Cleveland Clinic and also to Philly. And I was a super high-risk surgery because with the MRI, they found out the tumor was attached to my spine. And so there was a high risk of me being paralyzed from the waist down.
Wow.
So nobody really wanted to touch me. But his sister was doing a fellowship for neurosurgery in nursing. And she's like, let me send an email. I'm in touch with the chief of neurosurgery and see what we can do. See if I can get you in. So she sent him an email. He contacted me. And he's like, I can get you in this Friday. It's Black Friday. You know, I don't have a lot of appointments. People are right. Shopping.
That's the one good thing about shopping, I guess.
So I was already in Hershey living out of my car. I was staying, like, I went to my friend's house. And I was at my parents' house. And so I drove up here and with my notebook of myriad of questions because this just kept evolving and getting worse. And he's like, I think I know what it is. I think you're going to be okay, but we don't know because these things, these tumors can develop into cancer. So we don't know how long you've had it. Because I had back issues in high school, but I was an avid athlete. So you could just play off every symptom that I'd ever had. It was, you know, oh, because you play field hockey. Oh, because of this. Oh, you know, you're a nurse. It's so every symptom I've ever had with everything, it was easily explainable until it all came together. So he wanted a few more tests and everything, but it was going to be a full day surgery, a full 8 hours. And he also needed colorectal surgery because it was on my bladder. It was displacing my bladder and displacing my rectum. So I needed two chiefs of surgery to clear their day for me. So that was November, and the first they could get me in was in January. So I had a couple months of praying and waiting. So it was a rough couple of months not knowing. And so I had surgery at Geisinger. They put me on BP8, the cancer floor. That way I was prepared after surgery for chemo, if necessary, right away. But I was blessed, and my results came back negative. However, and my neurosurgeon sent my results to the neurosurgeon at Hershey and was like, laugh out loud. FYI.
You got this one.
You're dumb. So we had delayed our wedding because I needed surgery, and because we had picked out a place and everything, canceled it, picked out a new place, canceled that, and we're preparing for our wedding again. At this point, I had my first surgery, and we went house shopping, and I brought a pillow along to go house shopping. And our real estate agent's like, we have 10 houses to see. You're not going to have time to sleep. And I was like, no, this is so I can tolerate being in the car. because I was on, after surgery, I had 2 weeks of bed rest, and then I had 6 months of rehab. And so we were finally like, okay, we can get married. We're preparing for marriage again. And I'm shopping with his mom, and I had symptoms come back. So after surgery, I had to get MRIs every 3 months to check for tumors. And these tumors are one in a million. Mine came back, and it was bigger than the first one. So this time, he like wants to vomit over here. We knew that it wasn't cancer the first time from the first time. So the likelihood that it was cancer this time coming back this quickly and aggressively was super unlikely. It was much more likely the first time because it had been in there for so long. And so we went ahead with the wedding. I was like, God has blessed us this far. So we got married in May, and then I had surgery in September. I was blessed again. It was not cancer, but the recovery was detrimental. It took me 9 months to recover. I had to straight cath for nine months.
So this is what, the end of 2011?
Yeah.
To 2012. Okay. I lost my job. They wanted to put me on permanent disability. And I did physical therapy at Woodbine 3 times a week for months, which is a $30 copay 3 times a week. When you were already paying for Cobra at $600 a month.
Wow.
We had bought a house under a promise of a job for my husband because they wouldn't give me any credit because I hadn't been working and had rehab and everything, even though I'd worked for multiple years. So we were lucky that we, with all of this complications, we had multiple blessings as well. It just was multiple rough years.
It's not what you thought it was going to be.
No.
Right.
But I refused to give up.
Right.
I was like, God's got me. He's got me this far. I mean, because worst case scenario was I was going to be paralyzed from waist down, have a colostomy bag. So they're like, how are you so calm going into surgery?
Did you grow up in a house of faith?
I did.
Okay.
My dad is Catholic, went to Catholic school for his first, like, elementary school, and then went to high school and public school. My mom was Protestant, so that was kind of a...
awkward at times.
Yeah, but there was never... it was more from, like, my grandparents. When I went... my grandparents relocated. My dad's from Rhode Island, so they relocated, built a house. My brother and I slept over. We went to church with them. It was just... my mom was very involved in the Catholic Church, but she wasn't allowed to, like, accept and, like, here, we'll take your help, but we're going to shun you at the same time.
Right. You can do this much, but you can't do the elements and those type of things. Yeah.
Yeah. So growing up, I could recite all kinds of prayers, but I didn't know a lot about the faith. I read when I would be upset. I would read the Bible, and then I had a really good friend, still really good friends with. Both of my kids have met her. My friend Emily, she was homeschooled and then came to public school, middle school. And she went to a little Mennonite Christian church. And when I could drive and choose where I went to church, my parents said, as long as you go. So I started going to church with her, and I started learning a lot more. And why the Catholics have these rituals and things. And I still went to a Catholic university at Marywood, but it was so grossly different because the Catholic church that I grew up in was the only Catholic church in our town. So it was, you know, like a social gathering. But when I went to a Catholic university, the homily from the priest was, it wasn't like a recited, like, my mom used to, like, elbow me in church when I was a kid because I'd be, like, saying what the priest was going to say before he said it. It wasn't like that. There was actually information to learn, and he taught class as well. And my dad, coming from a background where you got, like, hit with a...
switch or whatever it was, whatever they had. Whatever they had close.
No, I was talking about at school with the nuns, because I also had some nuns as teachers, and then I also worked at the convent because I worked a couple jobs while I was in nursing school. So I worked at the convent, and these ladies had such a love for God. It was really impressive to see. Like, you are 90 and you have not wavered. Like, you are in a convent, people are taking care of you, and you know, when I was taking care of these ladies, they would talk to you, they would their gratitude and their love and everything was really apparent, and so my appreciation for them grew while I was there. I didn't want to go back to Catholicism by any means, but I had a new appreciation for the deeper level of it versus just the small town, closed-minded Catholicism that I was brought up with. But also, like, my dad didn't stop my mom from taking us to church either. So occasionally we would go to my mom's small, very small, like, 12-pew church. And when I went and slept over at my friends' houses, like, I went to church with my friend Vanessa, and I went to church with my cousins. So it didn't matter where I was. I was still, like, getting different. I was getting different views of who Jesus was to them and things, which helped me as I got older to, like, get different perspective and put it all together. And to try and give them the appreciation that I was brought up with. So I'm like, I don't want them to be, you know, like my mom only took me to this church and this right. is what I know because my mom taught me. I want them to know that, believe it and love it, and not say that I went there because I had to, but because I want to. So I'm never going to say no unless it's going to hurt them.
Right.
Because my parents gave me that leniency. I mean,
Well, that's how you learn. I think that's how you learn who Jesus is in your life. When you can really start to understand who he is and how he is to other people and other people's relationship. And if it's only one way, because we all learn differently. And I think it's a great way to, you know, and you're going to, if you're spending time in God's word, you're going to learn who he is, you know, and that's what's so great about who he is and God and how he works. So you guys have been coming here for quite a while. So you came here. Was he born? I didn't think so.
No, when he first came, it was 2000. He was born in 2014. We started coming here in, what, 2012? Probably after we were married.
We church shopped when we first came here. I would get off a night shift and change my clothes, and we'd go to a different church.
So we went to a church in Danville a few times, and we ended up getting married in a church in Danville at Shiloh Church.
Okay.
And then that's when Beth told us about this church after we were married, and I think it's around 2012.
Yeah, because she had hers. She had a little a child, and she's like, "They're great with kids there. They have a separate room." And I was,
It might have been closer to you were pregnant 2013.
We were definitely working on it. That's a whole another long story. Medical issues.
So what was it when you came that you were like, this is the place, this is the church for us?
I mean, I think for me, a lot of it was just how, you know, inviting everybody was.
Like, there's cookies.
We walked in a door.
Yes, they were. They gave us a bag full of cookies.
I mean, yeah, that was great for the cookies. Kids love the cookies, too. But he wasn't even around then. But just as soon as you come in, nobody, like, shied away from me or just looked at you like, oh, this person's new, don't belong. Like, just coming up and talking to me right away. And having a few friends that already were here was helpful as well. And they were friends that I've talked to and known for about a year or so. So I kind of trusted them and knew they weren't going to like lead me in a spot where I didn't belong. So that was my biggest thing.
We went to a couple churches downtown Bloom, and having that experience growing up and going to a couple different churches, I was like, oh, this is a really nice church, but they're a little too old school, a little too close-minded. This one, they seemed very opening and accepting, and like it was just home. And we went to LCBC as well, but it just got so big there. It got to be impossible to know people unless you did like multiple small home groups. Mm-hmm. And even with the small church that I went to with my friend, we did home group on Sundays. So I was like, can you feel like you're part of a unit when you're in a stadium seating?
Yeah. Right.
So I would go there occasionally, but so here I felt like the LCBC sermon and everything, but with a welcome committee that was like, hey, you belong here. Come in. Sit with us.
So you had been to a church where people put their hands up in the air and everything before. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because when we came here for the first time, I had never been in. I was more traditional Lutheran Methodist.
That was the way I was.
So. And when people were putting their hands up, I was like, well, are they doing? So, yeah.
Pentecostal up in here.
Definitely Lutheran churches.
Yeah, right.
It's like you walk in, everyone just sits there and hands on her knees and you don't move.
Right, and repeat after me.
That's
when I had gone to church. The very few times I went to church as a kid, that's what we were. My grandparents were Lutheran and
sing your hymns straight out of the hymn book. So
yeah, that's my mom's church. Her Protestant church was more steadfast that way, but the tiny little Mennonite church that I went to, no, they brought bread. You came up when you felt led and you ripped off a piece of bread. And if you need prayed for, you just walked up middle of church and they would pray for you. And they had their hands up. And
they were there a couple times with you.
It's
a good church, too. It's kind of Seville like this, but smaller.
Yeah.
Same feel. And they did a good praise service. They did like a nice sermon that, you know, didn't just read straight from the Bible. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
they applied it. Yeah. I like the applied. I'm very straightforward, so I'm like, I understand this, but like in high school, Scarlet Letter, I'm like, what do you mean? This is what it says.
Right.
Oh. Right. So I need sometimes I need people to spell things out for me.
I hear that.
So when it is applied, I'm like, oh, I get it. Thank you.
So Logan, you're 10.
Almost.
Almost 10. Can we ask you some questions? Are you okay with that? Yeah. Can you want to slide over to your mom's microphone? So you go to Bloomsburg?
Yeah.
So what grade are you in Bloomsburg?
I was in third. I'm going in the fourth.
Nice. So what do you like about the kids program here at BCC? Anything?
It's fun. There's a lot of people I know.
Snacks.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's my favorite part too. Sorry, brother. So what? Your mom and dad said you play three different sports. Yeah. What sports do you play?
Flag football, soccer, and baseball.
You have a favorite?
Soccer.
Soccer. What position do you play?
I used to play defense. I basically play anywhere.
Wherever they put you?
Yeah.
Not goalie.
No. So you're going into fourth grade.
Yeah.
So what do you know your teacher yet?
No.
No? Are you excited about fourth grade?
Not as excited as I was about third, because it was the only boy teacher in like the whole school.
Oh, that's always cool.
And he like participates in like every sport that we play.
Oh, cool. What was his name?
Mr. Shear.
He's an Eagles fan.
Well, that helps.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're an Eagles fan.
Yeah.
All right, my man.
Where are we going next weekend?
We're going to see the Phillies versus the Pirates on the 18th.
Let's go, Buccos.
Oh, on the 18th. We're going to the 19th. Phillies game on Sunday to see him play Oakland. So.
Wow.
It's supposed to be 95 and hot and sunny, so we'll see how that goes.
We wanted to go see him play in Pittsburgh because we've been to Citizens, so we want to go to PNC.
Oh, PNC. Nice. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
So we're going
stadium.
Out Pittsburgh for a Friday night
You'll
game.
Love it. Absolutely.
One time we were in Cincinnati to go see a baseball game because we were out there for something, and I asked this guy. He had traveled to every stadium in Major League Baseball. He was sitting next to me, and I said, what's your favorite stadium? And he said PNC Park in Pittsburgh.
Wow.
So he said
San Francisco?
He's been to everyone. He said he was to every single one.
I just saw a survey that said similar, that they were ranked number one.
PNC was always my favorite, but then I went to San Francisco. So I was like, oh, I hate to say it, but this one is really, really nice.
So I hope you have a good time there. That'll be great.
I do have a phone-in question from the back for Logan. The question is, have you been watching the Copa America soccer? Okay, good. I have no idea what I'm talking about. I don't know anything about soccer. So you're watching that?
Yeah.
Who's loving that?
Yeah.
Favorite team's probably America.
I watched some with Grayson last night. I was over at my friend's house because Mikhail had a soccer game.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. He had practice.
Were you rooting for Argentina or were you rooting for Canada?
Argentina.
Yeah. Messi. Well, I figured, but you never know. He could be a Canadian, eh? I don't know. Canadian fan. After Team USA left us down, so.
Yeah, he likes Pulisic, but they didn't do so hot.
Messi, Neymar, Mbappe.
So Pulisic's from Lancaster, right?
Hershey.
Oh, I thought he was from the Lancaster area. Okay.
I mean, they're 20 minutes apart.
So, baseball?
Mm-hmm.
So what position do you play in baseball?
Baseball, I play second base. I play anywhere except for catcher. I mean, I don't like to play outfield, but I can catch, so they put me there.
Yeah.
I like first base and pitching the most.
What? First base? You don't have to run far. That was Mike's favorite position.
Believe it or not, I was in second base.
Well, so why? Why, though?
Oh, I know why. Are you left-handed?
Yep.
No. That's why you pitch, too.
No, that was my brother.
And I can throw fast.
You can throw fast?
Nice.
Awesome. So fourth grade. So is fourth grade the last year in middle school, or no. Is so last
fifth
year
grade
fifth
is.
Grade in, at Bloom? I wasn't sure. I think fifth grade goes to in Central goes yeah. to middle school. So two more years in the elementary school. It'll go by quick.
But not too quick.
Yeah. Michaela, you ready for some questions?
No.
Oh. No, still not? Okay, that's okay.
I tried. I tried to get her, and I couldn't get her.
So, Logan, let me ask you, how old's your sister? How old's Michaela?
Six.
She's six. And what grade is she in, going into?
Going into first.
She's going into first. Okay. What sports does she play?
She plays
soccer.
Soccer and flag football.
Flag football?
You don't speak for me.
No.
Not
anymore.
She did play flag football, and they called her Big Mac.
Oh.
What?
What position did she play?
Quarterback.
Oh?
That's okay. They won't hear you. It's okay.
Tell us about being a quarterback.
So you were the quarterback? You don't know? You threw the ball?
Yeah.
Okay. Was she on your team?
No.
Oh, okay. She was going to say, how did that go?
She was undefeated. Her team was.
Oh, yeah?
Never lost a game.
Never lost a game.
Even though one of her kids had a concussion, she only had four players one game.
Concussion in flag football?
Yeah.
You got it outside of football.
From recess.
Oh, from recess. That can get rough out there.
Like, I've had, like, three, probably.
See, when we grew up, there was no such thing. I mean, there was, but we just, no one cared. Right. Nobody cared about us like they cared. Yeah, you'll be fine. Stay awake for a while. Make sure you're all right. And then go to...
Have an extra juice box.
Yeah. All right. So fourth grade, and you're going into first grade. Awesome. Do you know your teacher? Who was your teacher last year?
Miss Ark.
Wow, we are that deep into summer vacation. We put it behind
right.
us.
Right, we're like, you know what? I'm not in kindergarten anymore. I don't need to remember that. It's okay.
She should remember Miss Zara came to watch one of our football games.
Wow, that was really nice. So you guys excited for vacation Bible school?
Yeah.
You're going to be away? Yeah.
No.
You're not going to be here?
No.
We're going to be on vacation.
Oh, well, I mean, if you can't be here, I mean, that's the place to be. You going anywhere fun?
Outer Rock Beach.
Corolla.
It's about the Easton area.
Crabs. I like to taste crabs.
Crabs.
Yeah.
And finding shark teeth.
Well, we're not going to do that.
Not the Crayola coloring factory. Is that where we're going? Crayola? No.
No, Corolla.
Corolla.
I was like, what are you talking about? I was so confused. I'm like, they're talking about beach and eating crab. I don't know. No, that'd be great.
Like Toyota Corolla, but Corolla Outer Banks.
Oh, the Outer Banks. Nice. The beach.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. Well, that's awesome.
We actually picked a different week, so we wouldn't miss BBS, and we're still missing BBS because BBS.
Not technically.
Mike.
It was the same week last year. It's the July, last few days of July, first few days of August.
Well, that's okay. We understand. We're excited that you're going on vacation. Hopefully the weather's nice. You have anything else you want to tell us, Logan? Feel free. Floor is yours. Okay.
Good talk.
So you guys live here in Bloomsburg?
Yes.
Take the microphone.
Yeah, we have to give it back to your mom. We can't.
Well, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. What does mom and dad like to do for fun outside of children?
What's that?
Exactly. But you did not always have kids.
I like to hunt. I like to fish.
Okay.
We bought a boat, so I like to go out on a ski boat. Or any river boat, anything. I grew up on the river, so mm-hmm. I spend a lot of time on the river when we get a chance. Archery hunting is my biggest thing that I like to do.
Have these guys shown any interest in hunting as well, at all?
Yeah, Logan has gone with me a couple of first days just to sit with me. He hasn't actually, you know. What's that? Oh, yeah, they like to shoot.
Nice.
My uncle has a little shooting range in his backyard. He sets up, and they can shoot in little 22s and things. So,
nice.
Little target practice. He has a bow. Shoots that with me.
Dad, do they get the scope on
Hey, we asked a question.
Yeah.
This is our show.
What are you doing over there?
I must have been working on this. So you,
you can officially hunt, what, at 12?
Officially hunt at 12. You can hunt earlier now as a mentor license, too.
Oh, so wow.
The parent has to hold the gun and everything right to the last minute, and you know, it's all safety stuff. I think they even start that as low as 9. So,
oh, wow.
But he hasn't done that yet, so we'll see.
No, he just goes and sits in the shack and eats Kit Kats.
That's how I hunt.
Yeah. I'm not on bed phone if I start to get bored. And then yeah. I get hot chocolate.
Yeah, then we go back to Uncle's house and, right. You know, Aunt Barb. Gives him chocolate chip cookies and hot chocolate.
When are we going hunting, guys?
Yeah. Perfect.
I don't hunt either, but I'll hang out with Logan.
If it gets too cold, they go sit in my uncle's shanty that's like, you know, has a little...
It's got a heater.
That's the way to hunt. That's why I never hunted as a kid. My grandfather was old school, and he was like, we don't do that. We just sit there and freeze. I'm like, I'll fish with you in the summer.
That was my father.
Things are a little different now. But well,
Jeremy goes out and sits in the tree. Jeremy sits there. Logan sits there for 10 minutes, and then he's like, all right, I'm going in with a pop-up, and I'm going to get warm.
I don't blame you. So where do you put your boat in? Down in?
The Sunbury Marina for the most part. Yeah. That's pretty much where we go. It's this close and easy to get to. And I don't keep the boat in the water or anything, so we take it out each time. So
yeah.
But we like it there. Plus, I know the river, so it's kind of, you know, easier for me.
I grew up in Lewisburg, so I had a friend of mine, his dad sold boats, and we were out on the river all summer long. It was awesome, skiing and whatever.
Yeah, we do a lot of tubing. I haven't got into skiing yet, but they like to do the tubing and just going swimming and things like that when the water warms up.
Nice.
So.
Yeah, I did not grow up on the water at all. I grew up around farms.
I was going to say, you grew up on a tractor?
I mean...
Your grandpa had a couple tractors.
Yeah.
Let's not drive a tractor.
Yeah, we split wood out back.
Okay.
He had a couple acres. But no, I did not grow up plowing fields or anything. My dad's an engineer.
Well, I mean, hey.
They've been here. My parents have been here. When they come visit, they normally come to church.
And we both enjoy sports. So we just go to sporting events, you know. She likes the Steelers, like the Eagles. So, you know, we'll take
they
turns
play each other
going to each.
December.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, we took Logan to his first Phillies game at 6 months old.
Nice.
We've gone to some concerts. Logan went to see Breaking Ben when he was in my
belly.
That's
what we do without kids.
Oh, my gosh.
He was in my belly. Yeah.
Not the Diego show either.
What's going on?
My best friend from college, who I met up in Nanticoke, his dad was the original drummer for Breaking Benjamin.
Oh, wow.
So, I know their tour manager.
Yeah.
That's like my all-time favorite band growing up.
I know somebody named Benjamin. Take that.
So how growing up in Lancaster do you become a Steelers fan? Because that doesn't make sense.
When
some people are smart.
Oh. Oh,
my father was an engineer,
them?
So obviously smart.
Logan, you know the answer?
Yeah.
Can you tell me?
Somebody went to Lancaster, her high school, was a player for the Steelers.
Oh, who was it?
I don't know. His jersey's hanging up in the
basement. What number was it? Oh, Dan Kreider.
Dan Kreider.
Gotcha. Oh. Nice.
Way to recall that. Okay. Well, I guess that kind of makes sense.
And Matt Nagy, who coached for the Bears, went to my high school, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What?
Is it 13 or 30?
Oh, downstairs?
Yeah.
Oh, well, one is a Flyers jersey downstairs.
Oh.
We don't talk about that.
Well, now we're talking.
Yeah.
That was Daddy's.
I haven't watched
Lindros
a lot of Flyers
jersey
lately, but I love the Flyers too.
Me too, but boy, it's been ugly lately.
It's hard to watch.
Yeah, it is.
Penguins was rough this year.
Yeah.
So do you root for all four Philadelphia teams?
I do. I'm not a big basketball fan, but I will root for them if they're, you know, playing. But other than that, like, I don't watch a lot of basketball.
No, they just do March Madness for fun.
All right.
That is fun.
Yeah. Just pick brackets and see where we're at.
Right. Absolutely. I don't watch any college basketball until then. So.
That's right. That's when the season starts.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
And the kids went 15 for 16 this year on the first round. Just
wow.
Wow.
Went downhill from there. But
wow. They had a good start.
So you still work at Geising, you've been there, you said 13 years?
Yeah, 13 years at in Bloom. June. Yeah. And I'm at Bloom for like the last 6-7 now, yeah.
We needed better banking hours for the kids.
Right. And you're at the main hospital in Danville. And what shifts do you work?
I work part-time around the kids.
Perfect.
So I'm on day shift. I work tomorrow, actually.
But you'll do either 8-hour or sometimes it's like 12, but it turns into 13-hour days.
So. Yeah. And you're still in the ICU?
Yes.
Yeah.
Anything, a specialized ICU?
I work in neuro, on the fourth floor. I work in the medical ICU on the fifth floor. I float to the STICU and the TICU. I've worked in them all.
Perfect.
Nice.
So any like thing future that you guys think, you know what, maybe this is what God's asking us to do, or like that you have dreams that you have that you're like, maybe someday that's something we'd like to do, or
put our house back together. Oh, that's a current dream.
I'm living that one. It's been 12 years. So.
Yeah. I mean, right now, like everything just revolves around the kids. We're so involved in sports. Like I feel like there's not a day sometimes that goes by. We don't have something going on. It's like when you said like this day, Wednesday, I'm like, oh, actually her calendar says we have nothing tonight. So we're
so
between flag football and soccer. So
yeah, we had soccer game last night. We have soccer practice on Thursday, tournament on Saturday.
Yeah. Oof. So a lot of sports. We do a lot of sports.
Yeah. And I coached her. He coached him for flag football. So like we're really involved and we helped out with baseball. We played sports, so and the kids are wild now. And
oh yeah, I coached Little League with my brother a couple years ago, Light Streets team, and he helped me coach in Catawissa back in like 10 and 11, and it's just like these kids are nuts.
They were literally swinging from the rafters in the dugout.
It's a different time.
It is.
I was like, can you get down from there?
There's not the threat of violence anymore.
That's exactly right.
Well, their attention spans is so short.
So short.
And so the innings are so long.
And we know that you've been active in our children's ministry forever. So, I mean, you spanned, I think it's 3 people, right? Did you help when Mary Beth was here?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And then Kate, and now Jen. So
So I started out in the nursery when my kids were in the nursery. And then I was in there the longest. It was harder when they were small. Jeremy works every other weekend. So yeah. I'd like get up at 6 a.m. to start getting ready and getting them ready to get them here. Be like, you're in nursery today. I'm like, okay, I'm just coming to church to do nursery because they're not going to make it through a second service so that mommy can watch it. And that was before it was recorded. So I was like, all right, that's all right. I'm going to do my thing. That way next time somebody can watch my child and I can sit and watch church. So I was always okay with that. And then Michaela moved up and I've only helped in preschool like maybe twice other than VBS. And then I started helping out this past week I was in nursery and I did K through 4 all in one church service.
Wow.
So I started helping out her class, kindergarten, first grade, but we paired the classes a lot together. So I know that's why Logan didn't want to give too much input about church because he didn't want to say anything bad about his mom.
That's understandable. Good job. Good boy.
Well done.
Because I helped their class as well. So Miss Jen often is like, I need help. All right, fill me in. With their sports schedules, I am hard to fill in sometimes ahead of time because I'm like, I don't know what time their games are going to be. So if their game's at 10, and he plays Lehigh Valley soccer, so we're Mountaintop, Abington, Clark Summit. And then Michaela just made the U10 team. She's the youngest player by far. So she's going to start competitive soccer this fall as well. And it's just us.
Right. It's hard when you live in an area where your family isn't close.
Yeah, my parents come up to a lot of games and things like that, and her parents will come up probably about lately, like once a month, just for a weekend hang out. So it's not too bad, but it's like you don't have anybody next door as far as, you know, Graham's across the street.
Yeah.
Like we had people so close. My grandma would just come over like 10 minutes and say, yeah, I can sit down with the kids while you go to this, do that. So we have some good neighbors, though. We do have really good neighbors, but they're getting older too.
Yeah.
I think we just want to say thank you because you're one of those unsung. Thank you.
That's a tongue twist.
Yeah. It's one every once in a while.
I got you.
But you're one of those heroes that we have that doesn't get any credit. You just come and you help and you do all kinds of things behind the scenes. Your name isn't the one, but you for years and years and years, you've faithfully served the kids in this church and allowed parents to be able to be in church. So
can I really quick tell an Alicia Scott unsung hero story?
Yes.
Thank you. I was going to do it anyway.
I know.
I don't know if she knows this. She doesn't know this. I mean, she knows she was part of it. There was a couple months ago, there was a situation in the sanctuary. Now, Jen and I were really low on kid help. And so Jen and I was helping with the kids. I can't remember how long ago. It was like 6-7 months ago. Jen comes into the classroom that I was in a panic. She's like, have you seen Alicia Scott? I said, no. She's like, I don't know where she is. She's gone. And we're like, oh, I don't know. She's like, we got to combine some classes here. So come to find out, somebody had a medical situation in the sanctuary. And everything happened so fast that we were watching the video the next day to find out even what happened in the sanctuary. And I think they were sitting next to you, Jeremy. And Jeremy nonchalantly walks this man out, sits him down, and he goes, you could watch him go through the narthex. And he gets Alicia, and I'm telling you, Alicia Scott, super nurse, comes in as assertive as can be, just power walking through the narthex. Somebody threw her, I don't even know what it was, in stride. She grabs it, takes care of this guy. Everything's done. Back to the kids thing she goes. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing to watch. So I could say, like, yes, you are. And it's like, no one knows that happened. And it was just to watch it. Was amazing.
Yeah, so a lady collapsed onto Jeremy, I guess, in church. And it was one of those days we had combined the classes and he didn't know what to do. He's a pharmacist, he can give out the meds.
I did some things. Right. I gave her my watch. I put my watch on her and I wanted to check her heart rate. Right.
And
so I
like
knew that kind of stuff. I'm like, you feel dizzy, sat her down.
Yes.
Got her out to where I could get Alicia. Yeah. She's sitting
and
out.
He went for his wife.
I'm like, the rest my wife can do. I'm a pharmacist.
Right. You just tell me what drugs to give her. I got it.
Right now, so she needs to take her vitals and do the stuff I can.
So, yeah, he came and got me, and he's like, there's a lady, she needs your help. And I was like, well, there was somebody else in the classroom.
Gone.
I was like, all right, you got this. Bye. I got to go. And so I came out to the front, and I got a blood pressure cuff, and I checked her and did, like, a head-to-toe assessment on her, listened to her with a stethoscope. That's what they threw me.
That's what it was. It was amazing. Right. In stride.
And we called ahead to Bloomsburg to the urgent care to get her in. That way that we knew that
that's
she was
where I had my connections.
Hey, yo.
Text somebody at work and say, this lady's coming and you need to make a spot for her.
Yeah. She's okay. She's had follow-up care, follow-up testing.
And she thanks us every week when we come to church.
Gives me a big hug, says, I love you. I've been praying for you.
That's awesome.
But yeah, she had to get, she has some narrowing in her arteries. But so she's gotten lightheaded a couple times in church, and it has kind of gone unnoticed. Like people have she's sat down. So when she was lightheaded against Jeremy, he was, no.
Personal space. But I'll help you. But I think Jeremy, your point and all the whole thing is what this church is supposed to be and is about. Coming together and helping. And maybe you can't help in that situation, but you could help by calling ahead and saying, hey, we got somebody that needs help, that they go to my church. And that's what this, that's what the body of Christ is supposed to be, right? Every one of us has our gifts. Mine is certainly not helping people in a medical crisis, but if they need something fixed, I can do it, right? And so we all, that's why it takes the whole body to be able to make this church run the way it runs. And we appreciate that you guys are part of this church. We love that you're part of it. We love that you guys do so much on the down low. It doesn't go unnoticed.